This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And now, the show today is not all about laughs. We're going to talk a little bit about the coming elections here in Victoria.
Yep. Very important ones too.
And certain documents that Live in Positive Victoria and the Victorian Aids Council, VAC, had put together.
Yep. Absolutely.
The Victorian State Election, 29th of November. And it's called HIV/AIDS, What Your Government Can Do.
Yeah.
Now, in the next segment, we're gonna have a chat with Simon Ruth.
Simon Ruth, our CEO. Mm-hmm.
And he can explain to us a little bit more about this document. What do you think?
Fantastic. Hmm. I think we should try and laugh. Keep laughing. Keep the momentum going.
Gala.
Yes. No, but we are laughing, but we're also focusing on the serious stuff
serious,
around
yep.
the politics and the election of a new state government.
We are going to talk to Simon Ruth. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Carlos. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. We're here today talking and presenting to the community a document that Live in Positive Victoria and VAC had put together, HIV/AIDS, What Your Government Can Do. And we have a couple of questions for you.
Well, hi, Simon. Thanks for coming on the show today. Matt. We wanted to ask you, why is it important for VAC and LPV to have a state election platform?
So I guess this is the first time we've actually had a formal written election platform, at least in a very, very long time. And if you hark back to the history of both organisations, it was originally in political activism, and it was the affected communities demanding that government actually do something about HIV and AIDS. And so in a lot of ways, this is getting back to basics for us. This is about us calling on government again to make the changes that we need to end HIV in this state. There's goals in the national strategy of reducing HIV transmissions by 50% in the next 12 months and ending HIV altogether by 2020. And that's achievable right now if government steps up to the plate.
It's Jack here, Simon. Who's the document actually designed for?
Hi, Jack.
Thanks, Simon.
It's written for anybody who has an interest in HIV. So HIV is still the number one health issue affecting gay men across Australia.
Yep.
The document's also written for anyone who has a loved one with HIV or for any people living with HIV who aren't all gay men. But we've actually written the document so that politicians can understand it. So if you have a good knowledge of HIV, you might think it's a bit remedial, the document, but we had to write a document that any backbencher across the state could pick up and actually understand what we were trying to say.
It's actually it's a good read. What are we hoping to achieve, Simon?
So I guess we're trying to build on the focus that we've had around AIDS 2014, the conference that was in Melbourne back in July, and the interest amongst the public and amongst politicians in HIV and AIDS, which we haven't had that level of interest for probably a number of years. So we're trying to capitalise on that. And I guess there's 10 areas in the document that we'd like to see changes and we'd like to see a focus on. Some of those are focused on prevention. Some of them are about the care and support that are offered to HIV-positive people. There's one specifically around gay men's use of ice and drugs. And there's others around Section 19A of the Crimes Act and stigma.
And we'll actually be talking about that on each week of the show. We'll be looking at one of those areas. And today we'll be looking at access to treatment.
Correct. Now this, and PrEP.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a joint document, isn't it, between both VAC and LPV? So we've been working together.
It was put together with VAC and Living Positive Victoria, and Positive Women and Straight Arrows also had input into the document
as well.
So it's not entirely focused on gay men. It does also talk about how families are affected and how women are affected by HIV and AIDS as well.
Excellent.
So it's basically a recollection of actions or recommendations for whatever the new government is going to be elected in November, at the end of November, in regards to how to deal with the epidemic or
Yeah, I guess it's what we would like to see the government do to reduce the impact and to reduce new infections with HIV. If you're talking about access to treatment today, as anyone who's living with HIV would know, treatment is basically available in Melbourne's inner city. And if you live anywhere in rural or regional Victoria, you have to travel into the city to access treatment and to see doctors who can prescribe treatment. And similarly, PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, which is probably our most effective emergency measure. If you think you've possibly been affected by HIV or possibly been infected with HIV in the last 72 hours, you can go on to PEP, one pill a day for 28 days, which has an almost 100% success rate in preventing HIV. But every PEP outlet in Victoria, all nine of them, are within, I think, 8 km of the city. Unlike other states, Western Australia has 70-plus outlets. New South Wales has 35 outlets. Even the Northern Territory has more than we do and have better state coverage than we do.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for introducing this document on air. And, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Now, we are going to chat with Professor Edwina Wright. How are you, Edwina?
Hi, very well, thank you.
Great. Now, we were talking about a document that VAC and Living Positive Victoria had put together, just as a guide in terms with the state election coming up at the end of November. It's called HIV and AIDS, What Your Government Can Do. And one of the points that we're talking about on this document is actually access to HIV treatment. Now, how do you think this can help us achieve the elimination of HIV by 2020?
Well, I mean, access is it can be a physical reality in terms of just actually being able to get it, get to a place where you have where you can get the treatment. Access can be about, are you eligible for treatment? And access can be around, can you conceptually, are you wanting to access what's on offer in a sense? So if you think about the physical aspect of picking up treatment, if people want to start treatment and are living, say, in rural or more remote areas of Victoria, at the moment it's difficult to pick up your medications regularly because you're likely to have to travel some distance to a public hospital or a sexual health centre. Or perhaps you've already made some arrangements with those centres to post your antiretrovirals out to you. As of July 1st next year, 2015, we will be able to, pharmacies in the community will be able to dispense S100 antiretroviral agents, which will make life a lot easier even for people living in the city, so that they can arrange with their local pharmacist to have their medications available to them in much closer proximity to their work or home. So I think addressing the physical barriers to access, I think that's great. It will obviously require coordination. It'll require us figuring out, you know, what are the issues about, how we're going to do it, how we're going to do it well, how do we bring our pharmacy colleagues who don't typically work in the area of dispensing S100 drugs up to speed and other HIV-related drugs. So I think a collaborative, well-planned effort in all states of Australia will make that sort of physical acquisition of treatment better placed. And I think in the long term, hopefully it'll have mitigate against, you know, ongoing transmission to one's partners if you can keep your viral load down. But of course, importantly, improve people's quality of life and health.
Dr. Edwina, it's Murray here from VAC. It's interesting, we just had Simon Ruth on before who was talking about access to treatment as well. What would be your view of where Victoria ranks in terms of access to treatment?
I couldn't say. I don't know the data well enough to say how it ranks up against other states or territories within this country or others. I'm sorry, I don't know those data.
Edwina, it's John here, or Jack, as I'm also known as.
Hi.
This is all part of access to treatment. Good access to treatment is all part of treatment as prevention, isn't it? And how is that? What's the theory behind treatment as prevention, just so people out there can understand
it? Yeah, yes, sure. It's a really important concept, and sometimes it takes a while for it to kind of click in and to understand it. But what it really means is that if I'm an HIV-positive person and I'm ready to start treatment and I start my treatment, that will, as you know, bring down my viral load in my body to levels that are undetectable in my system and also in my mucosal surfaces, my genital tract, you know, and other areas. So through sexual intimacy, that means that my likelihood of transmitting the virus to my HIV-negative partners is tremendously reduced. So by treating me, you're also albeit treating others or preventing HIV infection in others, hence the term treatment as prevention. And that in turn, of course, implies that if people are able to have good access to treatment, having made the decision that they want to start treatment and do so and are able to adhere to their medication, then that is, of course, another pathway into reducing HIV infections, a virtual elimination of HIV by 2020 in this wonderful state of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, of course, other of the barriers that we can see on people taking medication will be the financial one. Mm-hmm. So on this document, they're talking about funding HIV treatments for all people living with HIV, by removing the co-payment for HIV treatment in Victoria.
Yeah. Well, that's a really critical issue, and I think it's a hard argument to win. It'll be a hard battle to win, but I think people say, well, what about other people who can't afford co-payments, who don't have HIV? Well, one response to that would be to say, well, perhaps we can look at paving the way for other groups who are have a number of comorbidities and are also relatively in poverty in this country to improve their quality of life as well. We know that a number of people living with HIV, a high proportion, are living at or below the poverty line. Mm. And I look after patients who report to me that they have to make choices about which drugs they'll buy this month. Typically, people always will get their antiretrovirals, typically, but they may not buy their antihypertensive medications or their lipid-lowering medications, and this is about people juggling finances. And so I think a creative approach to minimizing or removing co-payments is a very good idea, and we can certainly look at that. And I think other groups in the community with chronic burden with a chronic disease burden should be doing the same.
Hmm. Yeah, Dr. Edwina, can you tell us, in terms of the Vic PrEP study, how's it going, and are there any preliminary results yet?
Yeah, sure. So the Vic PrEP study is going well. That's a study, as you guys would know, where we're enrolling 100 people who wish to take PrEP for up to a Truvada, a drug to be used as pre-exposure prophylaxis for up to 12 months. We're also trying to enroll people who are equally as eligible but don't want Truvada. We're having more difficulty doing that. Mm-hmm. And we believe that nearly all the 100 places have been taken, and the remaining few people are still being screened to see if they're eligible. So almost all people have picked up their prescription for PrEP, and we have got some preliminary data, and these data come from work that's been done recently by an honours student of mine, Nalaga Fira Puramajat, and also my colleagues at the Alfred and Dean Murphy from Centre for Social Research and Health. So what we did was analyse the first 50 patients who came in, and we were able to look at some of their characteristics, and most of our people, the participants, are in the median age is about 37. The vast majority are Victorians who are Caucasian. They all certainly have, you know, the risk factors that make them eligible for PrEP, with about 60% having unprotected intimacy with casual partners and anal sex. An important finding for us, I think, and for everyone to think about, is that about 24% at the time that they came in to be screened for PrEP had a sexually transmitted infection, and most of those infections were syphilis.
Yeah. What was the percent on that, sorry?
24%. Yeah, so nearly one in four people presenting
quite a lot.
PrEP. It's a lot. Yeah. And why that's important, what I think that means is that for people who are thinking about using PrEP, perhaps off-label or borrowing some Truvada from a positive person who's using it or importing it, is just to be thinking about, you know, okay, good that they're thinking of investing in preventing HIV, but it's worthwhile being checked out by doctors and or a sexual health screen if you're thinking about starting PrEP and you're not currently in this study.
Just briefly, in terms of PrEP, which is also included in the election platform, how do you think PrEP can help achieve the elimination of HIV by the deadline 2020?
Well, I think that we know that it's highly efficacious in people who use it well and as they're asked to use it on a daily basis. The risk of transmission goes down by 99%, basically.
Quite high, yeah.
Beg your pardon?
It's quite high.
It's really high if used in as best as you can in conjunction with the other HIV prevention methods, which is condoms and STI screening.
Yep.
There's no doubt, I think, that if people in Victoria are using PrEP judiciously, then that will have an impact. And I'm not sure exactly how we'll be able to measure that, but we will prevent some of the infections. Definitely will be prevented by people taking PrEP. Not just because of the effect of the drug, but very likely also because people begin to think more about prevention. Indeed, they talk to their sexual partners more about the studies show that they start talking to their sexual partners more about sexual health and prevention, etc. So it has this lovely flow-on effect to the people around them. So, I think a priori, it's likely that the use of PrEP will help reduce HIV infections over the next 5 to 6 years.
Indeed, and we agree with you. Look, Edwina, we're running out of time, so thank you very much for joining us at Well, Well, Well.
You're very welcome.
Where does the time go?
I know.
It just flies
by.
I know. And we have had a couple of very interesting conversations.
It's been a very diverse show, hasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it has. And Edwina is fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah. Look, as I said before, Victorian elections are very close.
Mm-hmm. 29th of November.
Yeah. And this document, it's quite an interesting read.
It's a very good read.
There's a lot in it, and it's a good guide for our next elected government too.
It's a good read, and it's an easy read, but more importantly, it's a very, very important read, so you can get a copy.
And it's very colourful as well.
It is.
And we, as we mentioned on the Well 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 show, we'll be talking about the 10 key areas. Today we focused on number one, which is access to treatment. And if we follow it in order, number two next week will be access to testing or one of the other key areas. But if you wanted to get a copy of this document, where can someone do that?
Well, they can actually go to our website, vac.org.au. There will be the document will be there. Mm-hmm. It's actually on the front page. You'll see a yellow square. Just click on that, and it will show you. You will take it there. Or they can also go to VAC at 6 Claremont Street and pick hard copy of it.
A physical copy, yep.
I believe it's still in the Positive Living Centre.
I believe it's
as
in the PLC and probably at the clinic as well down Fitzroy Street, St Kilda.
Yeah.
So any VAC site should have it.
Yeah, and I can imagine Living Positive Victoria will have some as well.
Down at Coventry Street, Coventry House.
Yeah, so guys, we are running out of time.
We are, but before we go, I just want to let everyone know about what we were talking about at the start of the show, the Short and Girly with a Bit of Burly comedy gala that's on Saturday the 25th of October. We've got a host of comedians coming in for that, just checking the messages. Rosemary from Reservoir has said that she's loving the show, love Short and Girly. It's great to have it back. It's always been a great night, and I must remember to pack my tenor ladies that night. That's how much I laugh. Thanks, Rosemary.
And any more?
Yep, there was one. Hang on a minute. One more. Tex is enjoying the overuse word of plethora. I think we all own that word now.
Well, I haven't used it once, Tex.
You were away. You were away.
You haven't used what?
The word plethora.
What word? Well, there you go. You just used it.
Boys, we need to say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
So we'll see you next week with more news on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.